gospel reading before, and we're pretty familiar with it, but it still challenges us, because every time I read it, I think, what is it really saying? It's answering, Jesus is answering accusations in doing good deeds, and he's being acclaimed that he's being doing it because it's the devil. And he scolds this hard-hearted crowd. For the people whose heart is cold and their minds are closed, Jesus understands that there's no sign from God that would be sufficient for them to open their hearts. Jesus was speaking to the Jewish leadership, whose job it was to advise and to monitor compliance with the some 613 laws that have been developed since the time of Moses. Compliance with which was a measure of your devotion to God. How well did you follow the law? Many of the laws had no bearing whatsoever on the second great commandment given to us by Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. This is one of the instances where Jesus kind of gets angry. An angry Jesus always makes us a bit uncomfortable because, as in every scripture, he's not only talking to the people of his day, but Jesus is saying something to us as well. We don't like an angry Jesus. So what he must be saying in today's gospel must be pretty important. Today, Jesus warns us of the perils of an empty soul. It's not enough to just avoid sin in our lives or denounce evil. It has to be replaced with something positive. Jesus gives us this image of an individual from whom the evil spirit has left. Spirit roams around the earth trying to find another host, but finding none, returns to the house and finds it swept and clean and defenseless. He finds an opening and then returns with seven spirits to make it a permanent home. Our religion, our teachings, can't focus solely on avoiding sin and a list of thou shalt nots. The cure, the antidote for ridding ourselves of the torment of temptation, is the good we begin to do. The best way to avoid evil is to do good. We overcome vice not by heroic efforts of battling temptation, but rather by practicing the opposite virtue. If we are prone to greed, we should practice being overly generous. If we are prone to being angry, we should spend our day with a big smile on our face. If you're prone towards pride or envy, spend the day looking for things to compliment others and then do so. Maintaining a beautiful garden is more than just pulling out the weeds. We need to plant something else in its place so there will be less room for the weeds to grow. If we don't do that, if we don't fight vice with virtue, evil can take a permanent hold in our hearts, because when we're just fighting temptation, we're finally going to give in to that fruitless battle of fixing our broken nature. Reconciliation doesn't end with the absolution of sin, but with the promise of the penitent to work on virtue. The sacrament of reconciliation is meant not only to have our souls wiped clean, but also to give the graces to fill them with virtue. Beware of that peril of the empty soul. If you are suffering from one of the seven deadly sins, sins that you've been battling unsuccessfully your entire life, take a different angle on your sinfulness. Redirect all that battle and energy to pursuing virtue. It takes a bit more work, takes a bit more concentration, but it's a lot more fun. Besides, when we stand before the Lord, our lives will not be judged by the sins we have avoided, but by the good we have done.